I suppose everybody here has some experience in the practice of meditation. So my job as a teacher or as a person talking about meditation is to help you get started for this session of 45 minutes meditation after this small talk. So it's a bit loud. So meditation for people who have meditated for a while now, I've been thinking about this and reflecting on my own experience, and I think one of the hardest things for a person to do or to achieve in their meditation practice is to develop a sense of stillness, develop a prolonged sense of stillness, a stillness which lasts for a long time. And I think that's one of the most hardest thing for anybody or any meditator, advanced or beginner, to do or to get to. Because when you think about it, if you think about letting go or just experiencing a moment of stillness, that is something which is quite easy to do. In your lives, whatever you may be going through, whatever problems that you may have, some of you may come here to get some advice from a teacher. He'll teach you a few techniques on how to let go of things or how to drop problems, and you listen to that advice, you take it on, and you use it, and you find that it's quite easy to let go of some of the problems that come in your may come up in your lives. And when you do let go of a problem, what comes from that is a sense of stillness. But the way this mind works is that it'll somehow pick up another problem, or it'll just go off thinking about something else. So that means the sense of stillness has disappeared. So that is what generally happens for most people in their lives. There's the mind just moves all the time. It moves all the time, and it can't really find that sense of stillness, and it cannot really hold it for a long period of time. So as a meditator or as a student of a meditation master, like Ajahn Brahm, he has taught myself some techniques that I could use to help me experience a longer sense of stillness. And so when we sit down and when we meditate, when we close our eyes, the first thing that we get asked to do is to practice this present moment awareness. And so we just sit here, we let go of the past, we let go of the future, and we just focus, or we just put our attention on this present moment. And because our mind is untrained, then this present moment disappears quite quickly, and then we go off picking stuff up from the past or picking stuff up from the future. So one of the techniques that I've learnt over the years is to develop a good relationship with the present moment that you're supposed to be focusing on, or that you're supposed to be dwelling on, is to develop a attitude of liking this moment, because generally when we like something, we tend to stay with it. You can take, for example, when the grand final's on and you got a whole bunch of blokes just sitting around the TV and the game goes on, I don't know for how long, for about 3 hours. Focused without losing their focus. And the reason why they can stay focused on something like that is because they've developed a positive relationship between themselves and the footy match. They can get some fun out of watching the football. And in the same way, when you're doing the meditation practice, if you can develop the right attitude, an attitude that helps you stay focused or stay with the moment for a longer period of time, then you can understand that you're doing the meditation correctly. And that's something that takes time, something that takes persistence, and something that takes a little bit of faith. Because sometimes when you sit there and you've been practicing this practice for a long time, the mind may do things which you don't want the mind to do. It may be thinking about this, it may be thinking about that, it may be giving you a very hard time. And when that happens, things become disappointing. And when you're disappointed with the practice, then you don't tend to do it so much. So as anybody who wants to achieve something in life, you have to have that persistence. You have to have that strength of mind to continue on with the practice of meditation. And you experiment. You try to do things a different. You try to do things this way. You try to do things that way. And a smart meditator is a meditator who can learn from his experience. A smart meditator is a meditator who can try out different things and see what techniques work for them, whether it's the technique of loving kindness, whether it's the technique of watching the breath, whether it's the technique of just making peace with whatever is happening in the mind. And that's one thing that Ajahn Brahm talks about a lot in the meditation. He talks about making peace with whatever arises in your mind, whether it's thoughts about the past, thoughts about the future, thoughts about the problems that are happening in your life. He always talks about making peace with a mind which is restless, which is unpeaceful. And the reason why he says this is because when you're sitting there and when you're making peace, you're developing a wholesome state of mind. And you're sitting there with just this wholesomeness within you, but in front of you, there could be chaos. But once the chaos disappears, then what you're left with is a peaceful state of mind. And the Buddha would say, you know, things are impermanent. They don't last. They come and they go. And if you can sit there and have that understanding and have that patience and understand that whatever arises in your mind will eventually cease. And once it ceases, what you have left is a sense of peace, a sense of stillness. And the sense of peace and the sense of stillness is something that a meditator should understand, that it's something that has to be experienced. And if one can stay there for long periods of time, one can understand that the meditation will go deeper and deeper, and then you get into the deeper states of meditations like the nimittas and jhanas and whatnot that arise from such practices. It's like Ajahn Brahm would say, it's like the snowball effect. Like a snowball starts on top of a mountain, just this small snowball, and then it'll just build up in momentum, it'll start rolling down the hill, and it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And in the same way, when you're meditating, this snowball effect of peace happens in your mind. You get little moments of peace, and then they start to snowball, and they get bigger and bigger, and the momentum gets stronger and stronger until you basically just bliss out of your mind. And from that bliss comes the wisdom of the Buddha, the wisdom that liberates yourself from the round of samsara. So I think one of the most important things that a teacher can give people is encouragement, to give them encouragement, to let them understand that if you practice, then you get the results that you want. I think in today's Buddhist society that there's enough teachings out there. You've heard everything. You've heard the Four Noble Truths. You heard the Eightfold Path. You heard about teachings about non-self, about suffering. You heard all of that. So you know all the knowledge. And I thought to myself, what's the purpose of a person who teaches other people? If they know everything, then there's no point for me to sit up here to say anything to you. And I thought about that, and I thought a thing that a teacher can give, or a thing that a monk can give to people who want to learn, is that encouragement to just continue on and to never give up. Because if you give up too early, then you may not get to where you want to go. So, that's all. I think 15 minutes is up, so we can all start to meditate. So the meditation goes on for about 45 minutes. So everybody can just get comfortable now. You want to sit on the ground, you can. If you want to lie down, you can. If you want to walk out of this room, you can. It's all up to you. So just get comfortable and just start meditating. There is no need for guidance. So just sit down and try to develop the positive perceptions that allow you to keep your mind in this present moment. Okay. So meditation is now coming to a close. So any bad bits in your meditation, just forget about it. Let it go. Anything good, learn from it and try to remember it and then repeat it for next time. So now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. After the third gong, you can come out of your meditation. So how did everybody go? Did everybody have a good time? Are there any questions? Oh, at the back. With the pain part, I don't think you can really do anything about it. For people who have experienced pain for a long time, what happens is they get used to the pain. So the pain is still there, but they can relate to it in a way where they don't develop too much negativity over the pain. But when you talk about negative states of mind, you can sort of take the example of a mother, like looking after a child who is naughty, who runs amok, who causes a lot of grief in the mum. The mother has unconditional love towards that child. Even though that child may seem to never grow up. But eventually, one day, that child does grow up and the child starts to behave itself. So you could say the same with the mind. At this moment, in this time of your life, your mind's like a child. But if you just allow that mind to grow in Dhamma, then hopefully it'll grow to become a mind which is obedient, good, and helpful.
About the pain.
Yeah.
Don't you think like a meditation, understanding feeling will help to reduce pain? For example, pain. A lot of our suffering pain is from the feeling, from the mind, the thoughts.
Yeah.
So once you can watch the thing, okay, it goes off. You understand this thing? Yes, feeling pain. Pain is feeling too. And then understanding suffering, and impermanence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you think it would help to at least minimize the pain with understanding? When it arises, you watch it, it's thinking.
It's sort of like what you add onto that pain, which makes it hurt more or not, but the pain is always there. If you have the right attitude, then the pain is still there, but it just hurts as much as the body hurts. Take for example, my little niece, she just gave herself a little nick on her foot, but she started screaming and crying and just overreacting over this small cut. But in reality, that's only a small cut. It doesn't really hurt that much. So it really depends on what you add onto your pain. Yeah.
So all the time, it comes and it goes.
Yeah, it comes and it goes, yeah.
Suppose you, I don't know, pain is all the time, or there are certain times when it comes, then you use the, like the watching, you minimize it, push it.
It's sort of like...
All the time, 24-7, 24 hours, 7.
No, it's not 24 hours, it's not 24-7.
Things like that, yeah.
It's cause and effect, basically. That's what it boils down to. If you... If you put causes in your mind which causes happiness, then you'll live a happy lifestyle. If you put causes in the mind which causes suffering, then you'll live a lifestyle of suffering. So you have to look back and ask yourself, where does this suffering come from? And usually the suffering comes from something that has happened previous. Yeah, and the same with happiness. The same with happiness. You have to do something to make your mind happy. You have to do something to make your mind happy. There's a cause and an effect relationship that happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until it disappears. Just keep on talking. Yeah, no problems. Yes, that's right.
Sorry, I'm just checking. You understand what I mean?
But you'd have, if it's impermanent, you'd have to watch it for it to disappear. It would just disappear anyway by itself.
Just not before I came here, I'm a carrot with my mom.
Yeah. Sadhu. Any more questions? Okay, well, I guess we can pay respects to the Buddha.